Well, glory. Excited about faith. I told you that last week, but I'm still excited about it. Amen. I'm still excited that we have something like faith to be able to rely on, to fall back on, to trust in, to take us to a level of knowing that God will do what God said He will do. Amen. Last week by the way, how many of you, does anybody not have a handout? Listen, did the dog eat it? Lord Jesus. The dog ate it. Yes, ma'am. On faith. On faith. You got it? You need one, Megan? They all say discipleship training on the front of it. It's the inside that matters. No, it's not. No, it's not. There you go, hon. What's that? Oh, are we good over here? You need one, Tom? Gene Tommy needs one over there. He thought he was back at South Umpqua for a minute, but I got him. I got you covered, brother. Listen, I'll do the preaching. I'll tell you what. These new guys that show up, they haven't learned yet, but I'm going to get them learned up. I do the preaching. I'll get to that. I promise you, my brother. I promise I'll get to that. Faith. I don't know what you even think. What do you even think about? Do you ever think about faith? What do you think when you think about faith?
Action.
Action. Well, do you ever think of faith as a muscle? It needs to be exercised. If you don't exercise your muscles, the medical term is... Did I not just tell him I'll do the preaching? Oh. I was fixing to, there was gonna, because I'm a Myrtle Creekian, redneck Myrtle Creekian, uneducated like Peter and the boys, and I was gonna lay that on everybody. As a medical, I was gonna build it up. It's a medical term, and the medical terminology would be for muscles that go away. They atrophy. I mean, I was gonna build it up like that.
Yeah, that's atrophy. Great.
Faith is just like that. If we don't exercise our faith, if we don't use our faith, it will become weak. I think we have to use our faith. And let me just clear something up. When I say I'll do the preaching, listen, I want to encourage you to keep speaking out and to keep answering those things when I throw it out there. When I say I'll do the preaching, it's not so that you don't say anything. I absolutely love it. Every pastor should have people like you that just blurt stuff out. I love it. Amen. As long as it's the right stuff. Yeah. 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 As long as it's the right stuff. I was preaching out of Revelations one time and was talking about, or was it, I don't remember where, but we're talking about the wheel with the eyes all around the wheels and all those symbolic kind of things, and precious little saint, she said, Pastor, that's the first biblical recording of UFOs. I was like, nope, no it's not. So, you know, as long as we're biblical, we can go with it. But when we get to, you know, Star Wars and Star Trek and stuff, I got to draw the line. So, but we talked last week about how the Bible defines faith, and in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and the two words that we brought out that describe faith was substance and evidence, and then we talked about faith starting with believing in God's character. Who remembers what God's character is? Righteousness and truth, for sure. Was this a question that we? I mean, did I don't remember. Anyway, Hope. Faith starts with believing in God's character. God's character. What I have here, God's character, that He is who He says He is. He is who He says He is. And then faith culminates with believing in His promises that He will do what He said He will do. Amen? If we don't believe those basic things, then faith really is either completely atrophied and so weak that it can't... Have you ever been so wore out that you can't hold on to stuff? I mean... That's kind of what we're talking about. And so for believers, hope, we talked about hope, biblical hope, the substance of things hoped for. It means that the person that is hoping in God has complete confidence that God will fulfill His promises. So again, we have to go back and we have to say, do I or do I not have the confidence that God will fulfill His promise? And if we do have that confidence, then that's the very thing that we stand on. We're firmly planted on those things. And the hell can come against me all at once. The winds and the troubles of time can come against me. But I'm standing secure on the solid rock. And I shall not be moved. Shall not be moved. So... hope is a desire that is based on assurance, and the assurance is based on the character of God. Amen? We talked about this is just review. We talked about all these things last week, and so we transitioned into how would you define faith, and we said that it was to trust in God to do what we can't. To trust in God to do what we can't do. How many of you have faced those kinds of things in your life? I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I mean, I've reached my mom. When my mom would get upset with me, which was, you know, extremely rare. She would say, I have about reached the end of my rope with you. I wasn't going to suggest anything, Laverne. Wasn't going to do it. Yeah, probably did. But when you reach the end of your rope, that's when the trouble starts. Trust in God to do what we can't do. When all else fails, when the doctors have exhausted their wisdom and exhausted their training and exhausted everything. When you've tried for every job that ever come along and nothing showed up and you did this and you did the other thing, and you've done everything you know how to do, and it still isn't enough, then we have to trust God. The reality is we should be trusting God all the way through that whole process. But even when on the physical it looks like everything is going gunny bag, we still stand on the assurance that God's going to do what He said He'd do. Amen? Because that's His character. So we ended up last week with where does faith come from? And I wanted to look tonight at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus has become and is our example. He perfectly finished his race. And so because he stands at the finish line, remember the illustration I used a few weeks ago about the swimmer that was swimming across this body of water, and it was in fog, and she was swimming, and she just got tired and wore out, and she gave up, but she was like only 1 mile away from the finish line. Remember that story? And yet the very next day, the same lady got in the same body of water and started the exact same swim. The difference was it was not foggy. It wasn't overcast. It was a clear day. And from her vantage point in the river or whatever body of water it was, she could see the finish line. And she finished the race with the course with no problem. There's something about being able to see the finish line. See, the finish line gives us encouragement. The finish line gives us hope. Tammy and I went 3-4 weeks ago, something like that, to Roseburg and watched our grandson compete in a cross-country cross-country meet. And, I mean, cross-country... There's special people that run like that. I mean, when you push yourself so hard that you literally throw up because you're just exerting every ounce of whatever you've got in you. And the course goes all over the place, around and around and up hills and down hills, and you run by this way and then pretty quick they run back by that way and they go. I mean, it's just crazy. But when that finish line comes into sight, Bob, he's a marathon runner. Bob's a marathon runner back there, and he's preached on his running, and I've preached on his running, and the thought of so, and I thought about this, Bob, during this cross country meet, and because my grandson ran by me, and I remember you said that people would get out of their place and they would run along with you and encourage, "Wow, you're doing good." They'd just encourage you. And I was like, I couldn't make it 10 yards. They'd be calling medics, man. Bring some oxygen. But they just run, and when they see that finish line and they're just, you know, the whole course, they're just plodding along and they see that finish line and it's like they flip a switch and they just take off. That's what I want to be able to do when I see the finish line and Jesus stands at the finish line. And as Christians, we should fix our eyes on Jesus and we should look away from all other distractions. How many of you know, church, there's distractions? There are distractions. The enemy will put all kind of things up. Your flesh will get all kinds of things in the way. There are distractions and there are options. Options. Yes, Mary. Huh? He beat his he personal record. PR'd. He PR'd. He PR'd. How long is a cross country? Way too far, brother. I can tell you that much. It's way too far. I don't know how far it is, but it's... Bob, how long is it? His was 8K. 8K, about 7.90% K is too much for me. But we're all in a race. Speaking of races... We're all running the race of life, and we've all got a job to do. And after explaining some of Jesus' credentials and the reasons for keeping our eyes on Him, in the book of Hebrews it tells how Jesus must be the believer's example in facing trials. If you want to know how to go through trials, look at Jesus. How many of you remember that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith? How many of you have come to grips with the idea that He's not looking for an editor? He's the author and the finisher, and too many times we want to edit what He said. Change it up so that it fits me better. He endured the cross. He despised its shame. Crucifixion was a horrible and a shameful way to die. And Jesus endured this disgraceful and degrading death. And even more, He disregarded the shame represented, despising and scorning it. The human shame amounted to nothing. Compared to the shame that Jesus may have felt when He took on the sins of the world. Remember, He was sinless. Let me clear something up for you. When Jesus died on the cross, when He took your sins and my sins on Him, He did not become a sinner. He took your sins on Him and redeemed you and I from them by the blood of the Lamb. He endured all of this suffering on account of... Hebrews 12:2. It says that He endured it all on account of the joy that was set before Him. See, Jesus kept His eyes focused on the goal of His appointed course. You ever seen like a team of horses hooked up to a wagon? They got the full deal on. Anything just leap out at you with your mental picture of that? Budweiser. Well, that wasn't where I was going, brother. They've got blinders on. What in the world is that all about? So they are not distracted. Exactly. You guys get an A+ tonight. Propitiation? Yeah.
There's only one reason that word was ever invented.
Yeah.
For Christ, who's the propitiation for our sins.
He is. He's the pro. See, I'm glad you said that, because that's a great word. To get it out of this mouth is an entirely different deal. Propitiation. See, and Jesus is our propitiation, which is like the payment or whatever, the price paid. He endured all of this on account of the joy that was set before Him. What is the joy? What? The redemption of His children. The hope of us being with Him. Listen, people have said the joy is the cross. No, He wasn't looking forward to that. I mean, that wasn't all what made Him joyful. The salvation, the redemption, the propitiation that He was paying for us. That's what brought Him joy, in my opinion. Yeah.
I mean, we are a manifestation of what He did for us and His mercy and kindness and love, but He did it for God's glory.
Yeah. Yeah. And we ought to exemplify that.
Amen.
We ought to exemplify that. We ought to do all that we do for God's glory. And we get too wrapped up sometimes, I think, in our flesh. And say, hey, look what I just did. Well, here's a clue. You couldn't have done any of it if God hadn't given you the ability and the talent to do it. Do it all for the glory of God. He kept his eyes focused on the goal of his appointed course, the accomplishments of his priestly work and his seat at the right hand of his Father God in heaven, knowing that a great reward was coming for God's people, gave Jesus great joy. I think he's looking forward to the day. I think he's doing this. What am I doing? Huh?
Watching people come into heaven.
Waiting for God. No, he ain't doing that, brother. He's doing this. He's waiting for his Father because he's at the right hand, so he's looking like this. Just waiting for his Father to go. Because when he does, woo, woo. Mike and I were talking the other day about pre-trib and mid-trib and post-trib, and we both agreed on one thing. I don't know, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. We're just going out on the first load. Amen. We have made up our mind. We are going out on the first load. He looked not at his earthly discomfort. He didn't. What's that? It is very hard to do sometimes. Jesus did not look at his earthly discomfort, but he kept his eyes on the spiritual. He kept his eyes on the invisible realities. Listen, I've preached since I don't know how long I've been preaching, to be honest with you. I'd have to count it up, but I've preached about heaven so many times. I have no idea what heaven's going to be like. I mean, I have my ideas, and I know what the Scripture says about it, but I think that when we get there, it's going to be so far above anything we could ever hope, think, or imagine. We're just going to be blown away. But man, Harry, I'm looking forward to that day. I don't want my earthly discomforts to sidetrack me, but I want to keep my eyes on the spiritual and the invisible realities. An invisible reality that I have tonight is that I know that the Son of God's Holy Spirit lives inside of me. I didn't see Him come in. I know when He came in. I felt Him come in. I didn't see Him. He's an invisible reality. How many of you have seen air? When's the last time you just sit and that's some beautiful air? Mercy. We don't see air. It's an invisible reality. You don't believe me? Quit breathing. It will become very real to you very quickly. How is it that we receive our faith? Well, Romans 10 and 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, also understand that when you get saved, the moment you get saved, you are given a measure of faith. Every one of us have a measure of faith. We build on that faith and we receive more faith, according to this verse, by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. People need to hear the good news of salvation in Christ in order to believe it.
And that's not just your job. It's all of our job.
Exactly. Man, I'm liking you more all the time. It's all of our job. That's very, very true. People need to hear the good news of salvation in Christ in order to believe it. Faith does not respond in a vacuum or respond blindly. Faith, in fact, is believing that one has been told, or believing rather what one has been told about the offer that God has given us of salvation, and then trusting the one who is being spoken about. Yeah. Peter got out of the boat. Lazarus came out of the grave. Think about that. Well, I could go on all night. Yes, ma'am. If it's dumb, we'll determine that later. Go ahead. Well, there's, yeah. Well, was that a question? I mean, because you asked, said that you could ask a question, and that wasn't a question. That was more of a declaration of faith. Well, your hearing's certainly getting better. That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly. I'm not trying to be goofy or nothing. You're hearing and responding to what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. Well, that's good. I'm glad the Holy Spirit is teaching you some things. Yeah, we're gonna, next week, it might take me a month. Actually not next week. But when we're gonna start talking about the importance of faith, and it'll probably take me 2 months to get through. Because I'm not in a hurry. I'm not in a hurry to just rush through this stuff. I would rather spend a week or 2 weeks talking about the same thing so that you get it. So that you understand what it is that we're talking about. Not just, remember what we started out with? Huh? I mean, in this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so, if we have to keep going over it and over it, hearing it again and again and again. That's why you hear my stories over and over and over. Because they are realities that I've walked through, that Tammy has walked through, that Mike and Kathy and Tammy and I and other people have walked through and seen God show up and seen God do the absolute miraculous when man said it can't be done. But God did it anyway. Because that's who God is. And so we're going to start talking about, on our next one, we're going to talk about the importance of faith. Let me just give you this. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift. Everybody say gift. When's the last time somebody gave you a gift and you had to pay for it or earn it? What's that? That's not a gift. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We're going to talk about that at length. any questions about faith tonight? Yeah.
It's a gift.
Right. And we can't control what God does. Otherwise, if you and I could control everything that we pray about, well, probably we'd be rich.
Well, that puts it back on us. That's really not the burden God would want. Oh, I don't have enough faith. That's why I wasn't healed, or why I'm poor, or don't have a Cadillac.
Or even worse, well, it's because you just have sin, too much sin in your life. How many times have people heard that? Well, you're sick because you've got all this sin and unconfessed sin in your life. That's crazy. What's that? Yeah. Yeah. And God said Job was what? Righteous. But his buddies, they're like, man, you must got some problems going on in there somewhere. Listen, I want for us to exercise now faith. Remember, we started out with now faith. The evidence, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so I want you to begin to pay attention. I want you to begin to pay attention to this idea. Well, that's a stupid word to use there. The reality of faith. Not the idea of faith. The reality of faith. I want you to begin to pay attention to the reality of faith. I want you to begin to see in your life where and how you apply faith in different areas and different things that you're confronted with or that you're facing throughout your week. I want you to be mindful of faith. How you use faith. How you stand on your faith. How I exercise my faith. Every one of you in this room tonight, every one of you without fail, are exercising a level of faith right now. I could name several ways, but the most important way that you're exercising your faith is you have faith that when you sat down, that chair was going to support you. Now see, we just take that for granted. We don't even think about it. But you'd think about it if you sat down in your chair and the legs gave way out from underneath of you and you fell on that concrete floor, you'd be thinking about it. The next chair, exactly right. The next chair you went to sit in, you'd be like, all right, we're golden. Go ahead. Huh? How you doing? Your chair doing all right?
So far, so
good. Glory. See, those are just crazy little things that we don't even think about. But in reality, it's faith. We got faith in these glue lamb beams. Bill? What? Yeah. Yeah, and when they go out, that's a bad deal. These are all just little things that we just take for granted. When we pull that switch and everything bright lights up in front of us, we're like, that is so cool. You and Tammy's cars, speaking of faith and headlights, listen, don't make me come back there. They don't even turn them on. They don't even turn them on. And if there's a car coming, they don't dim them. They just dim by themselves. Car goes like, they pop back on. They don't have to do nothing. If you wiggle it too much, it tells you you need to pull over and have a coffee break. That's what their car says. You need to consider taking a break. I'll decide. Well, but we can't all sit in your chair, Dennis. That's only faith for your chair. See, now this is what I'm trying to get to. I'm trying to get you to be thinking about faith. When you go to your trailer tonight and you shut the door, if it was going to rain, you, by faith, you believe that the roof's going to hold up and no rain's going to fall on you. Isn't that amazing? We don't ever stop and think about that. I want you to begin to think about faith. And then we're going to graduate from that to, by faith, speaking and doing. Amen? Father God, I thank you so much for your word. Your word. By faith, we eat your word. By faith, we receive your word. By faith, we transition from the milk of your word to the meat of your word. Even though it might be milk to some, it can still be meat to others. And so, Father God, I pray tonight that we would eat on the meat of your word and wash it down with the milk of your word, if that can even be possible. But Lord, let your word enrich us and teach us and satisfy us, oh God, and that that faith would begin to well up in your people, and we would begin to do things by faith, taking steps of faith with our eyes on the finish line, saying, God, I'm not at the finish line yet. I'm still in my race. But Lord, I'm trusting you by faith to challenge me to do something to enhance your kingdom. God, I pray again tonight for every situation that we've lifted before your throne tonight, God. For RJ and Mickey, for Randy and her family. Lord God, for Charlie and for Linda tonight, God. For Mark and his grandkids and for Lita and all of them, Lord. God, meet needs, God. Meet needs, Lord. By faith, we just lift these things to you. Say, God, only you. You can do it, Lord. I love you. God, I thank you. I praise you. God, I'm praying by faith, Lord. By faith, Lord, that you would bring them in from the north for Sunday. God, by faith, we release the heavenly host, your Holy Spirit, God, to go to the north and to release captives, that they could come to the house of the Lord. And God, we pray the same way for the east, oh God, that your a garrison of your heavenly host would go to the east and with your Holy Spirit's guidance and release those captives in the east, that they would be able to come into the house of the Lord. And God, to the south, we pray, God, release them in the south. Lord, let your Holy Spirit draw people into this place on Sunday from the south. God, I pray to the west, Lord, right now. God, that a multitude would come from the west. As your garrison of your warring angels, Lord, and your Holy Spirit goes and begins to destroy yokes of bondage. Begins to break off bondages of people's lives, O God, that they would be released to come and find salvation in the house of the Lord. Now, God, that could bring in all kinds of people from all different walks of life. And, Lord, I said it earlier that we need to be like Jesus. That, Lord, that we would welcome and love all kind of people in this house, into the family of the Most High God. And for that, we thank you in advance. give you praise and glory for what we see by faith you're going to do. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you, folks. Have a great rest of your week. Thanks for being here. Hang on to your study notes. Keep them away from the dog, Jim. Keep them away from the dog. I don't want you telling me the dog ate your study notes. All right, Tommy? I don't want to hear that Charlie got your notes, so hang right on to them, all right? God bless you. Thanks for joining tonight on the internet. We pray God bless you. In Jesus' name.